Hello, nurse station.
Welcome to the Oncology Nurse On Call podcast. Please join me and Stephanie as we discuss oncology nurse navigation with Emily Beard. Emily currently serves as an oncology survivorship navigator at the Winship Cancer Institute at Emory University.
Hello, nurse station.
So, Emily, I'll continue where Patty started and now just turn in the lens of the impact you've made for patients individually. Can you think of a time where in this journey of 20 years in navigation, you really made a difference in a patient outcome and it really solidified why you chose to go into this field?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's so many of them. They're kind of at this point, kind of like, you know, this is your life, right? It's like these little flashes of like memories,
Yes.
As we go through. But, you know, I do think about one person in particular who is, you know, a young woman who was diagnosed in her 30s, and she was planning a wedding, and that her treatment was really, you know, just something she was focused on. Her mother, her fiance were with her in the appointments, and they seemed supportive and everything seemed to be, you know, going as it should. And then her kind of eyes would glaze over, and I sort of noticed, you know, that there was almost like she was dissociating a little bit, like what's happening here. And then she didn't show up for her chemo teaching appointment. And it was like, okay, this is a young woman with an aggressive, you know, disease. We need to get started with treatment. What's going on? And so I called her. And at first she didn't take the call. She didn't call me. Then I sent, I think it was pretext, but I called her again and she answered the phone and she said she was sobbing and she couldn't even talk to me. And basically what I heard her say through sobs was that she couldn't be a bald bride, that she just couldn't be a bald bride, that she, her fiance didn't sign up for this, that, you know, she was, you know, already going to be a disappointment to him, and that she couldn't go through with this treatment because she couldn't be, you know, there on her wedding day in her dress with no hair on her head. And it just was such a, I mean, first of all, such a beautifully tragic, you know, profound moment, right? And I just thought, oh my gosh, the privilege that she's opening up to me, that I get to be the one that gets to walk with her, it's just something that has never, you know, will never be lost on me. And I had recently gotten married myself, so I think I was even more, you know, kind of related. I could relate to her. And in that moment, you know, it just became about so much more than her cancer, so much more about her wedding, so much more about, it was like this woman's life, you know, in front of her. And she had this opportunity to sort of make a decision. And so, you know, we were able again to just take a beat, to stop. You know, I called our team together. I let everybody know what was going on. We were able to get a social worker in to work with her. It was right around the time that scalp cooling was kind of making a resurgence. It was coming back, you know, into something that people were doing, and one of our medical oncologists was willing to kind of give her a chance to kind of look into that opportunity. And so she was able to find out about scalp cooling, and we were able to help her get the supplies that she needed. And she was able to start treatment about, I think we held off for about 2 weeks. The other thing that happened was, because of all of this conversation, we had a conversation about fertility preservation that probably wasn't going to happen otherwise, because she was being kind of rushed into this treatment. And so she was able to also, in that time that we were figuring out her scalp cooling and we were figuring out how she was going to be able to cope with chemotherapy and still be able to have her wedding, that she was able to do fertility preservation. And so she was able to go to a clinic and, you know, had that conversation and did proceed with getting embryos. And, you know, I think that was such a moment for me, because in so many scenarios, that conversation would have just been brushed off, you know, and we would have just said, oh, well, I guess she didn't make it in today. And, okay, you know, and I think the opportunity that we have, and again, I see it as a privilege, because I think in our role, we have a little bit more time. We have a little bit more of an expectation of, you know, the schedule. We're not held to the schedule quite like our clinical providers are. You know, we aren't rushing the patient out of, a room in 10 minutes. It's usually a phone call or some time that we can sit with them in clinic. So that opportunity to really kind of dig a little bit deeper, is really to me what navigation is all about. And then to put into to play those resources. I wasn't the one to go out and help her with the scalp cooling. I wasn't the one to actually preserve her fertility. I wasn't the provider that actually did the things that changed her life ultimately, but I was the bridge. I was the connector. I was the one that could help her, make those connections happen. So, I think that's the kind of perfect example, but those happen all the time because again, we have patients that will, mention some small detail to us, like the fact that they couldn't get to the clinic because of their car or maybe they're caring for, an older relative, and that's a priority that they have to think about. Or maybe they're caring for young children, and so the d decisions that people are making now, while in the middle of cancer care are so complex. And I just always have to kind of put myself back into that space of like, what don't we see here? Like, what are we not? What are we missing? What's going on below the surface?
Exactly.
And help, try to answer those questions so that we can put the patient's needs first.
Well, I think, Emily, just to add to what you're saying, it's something to be said about an experienced nurse and intuition, and you picked up on that because often people would have missed it. You had that first experience, but something in your gut, even though it can't be measured, said something's not right here. And then when the patient didn't show up to the appointment, it's like, okay, I need to dig into this a little bit deeper because there's something that's not adding up, despite this patient being young and knowing the urgency of starting treatment. So I completely agree with you. I think those are the moments that, as a nurse, as oncology nurses, we get to show up for patients in a way that, if you're in a specialty like surgery, you're there to treat their pain, they get their surgery, they're out the door, make sure their bowels are working, and you never see them again, right?
Right.
But we get the privilege of journeying with patients from diagnosis to end of life, and it's something special about that.
Hello, nurse station.